Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got a new friend with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Pamela Bilbrey is our guest. She's, as I say, a new friend, and she is an organizational consultant. She's in the business of helping people like you and me make sure that we get the most out of our people, out of our organizations, and that we do all of that without creating a casualty list. And she and Brian Jones have written an outstanding book called Ordinary Greatness. It's where you least expect it. It's everywhere. And she's our new friend. Pam, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you here. Thanks for joining me. Congratulations on your book.
Well, thank you. We're very excited about it.
Well, you should be. And I like what you're saying in your book about how you can find greatness. And I think a lot of us are, you know, we're sort of like our employees become like our families. You know, we're around them so much, we're so used to what they're capable of, then, or at least what we think they're capable of, and we don't always give them the credit that they deserve. Would you agree with that?
Oh, that's very true. There's such unrecognized greatness in our organizations, in our families, in our lives. And we have blinders, as you suggest, that prevent us from seeing that greatness, from leveraging, celebrating, promoting the greatness.
Well, the other thing that happens, I think, sometimes, Pam, is we put, you know, these employees, they're our subordinates. In other words, they work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, a lot of times, they're going to kind of follow our lead. They're not going to be as likely to, you know, to sort of get in our face and say, I'm capable of so much more, because they want to keep their job a lot of times, especially these days. And so what I fear happens, is that we perceive ourselves, what this person, we put them into a box, we put them into this profile, and we leave them there when it's really not fair to them, and we ought to be allowing them to sort of achieve their own levels. How do we do that?
Yeah, you're so exactly right. And within organizations, it's really the leader's responsibility to create a culture or environment where employees feel like they're owners, in a sense, that they can contribute, that their ideas, their suggestions are valuable, and that their work makes a difference. And sometimes it's even more that leaders have to really go to the hard work of encouraging employees to feel like an owner, to solicit their ideas, to involve them in things that are happening throughout the organization. So instead of thinking that, you know, all the best ideas, all the difficult decisions can be resolved just by those in a leadership position, those organizations that get it know that it's employees at every level of the organization that can contribute in meaningful ways to make that organization great.
Well, but that takes more work, doesn't it, as a manager? That takes more time, and as business owners, you know, a lot of times, one thing I think a lot of small business owners do is we were the founder, we did every job first. We were the first person to do everything in the company, and when we hand things off to people, we don't always give them the full access to the responsibility for those things. And I think that sort of maybe gets people started off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, you know, there's an art to delegation, if you will. And in small businesses, I know that it sometimes is more challenging because the business owner has been involved in every single aspect of running the business. But when employees don't have an opportunity to take on projects, to share their ideas, then they just, hold back a little bit. We call it discretionary effort. They just hold back and say, you know, oh, the boss would take care of that. Nah, that's not really
well,
my job.
Or worse, we sort of give them the attitude that we want it to be done perfectly. And if they think that they can't do it as perfectly as we can, because, of course, Pam, you and I are perfect. When they think they can't do it as perfectly as we do, sometimes I think that causes them not to contribute as much, not to go there, so to speak, and that puts everybody on the wrong setting. And one of the things you guys talk about in your book is how to ask your employees questions that prevents that from happening.
Absolutely, it's all about getting them involved, because you know, you said the perfect answer. There's probably never a perfect answer. There are better answers than others. But when you're delegating, owners or leaders of a business have to understand that the response they get may not be exactly the way they would have done it,
right. But
it still works.
We have to tell ourselves, we have to remind ourselves that even though we think we're perfect, we're not.
Yes.
And there's only one version of perfect, and it's actually unattainable. But
There
are multiple versions of excellence, and that's what I encourage people to try to seek, is don't seek perfection, seek excellence.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to have to quote you, Jim.
Well, go ahead. Don't forget my don't forget my royalties on that, too.
I won't. I'll check your way.
So let's talk about some of the questions that you should ask your employees.
Well, you know, one that often makes leaders in an organization or a business a little tense when they ask is, what would make this a better place to work? Because they're have a fear that employees are going to come back with saying, well, you've got to pay me more money, you've got to give me more benefits. But really, when they hear the responses, employees want very simple, often very small things that will make the workplace more compelling for them, help them to do a better job. So we really encourage business owners to ask, what would make this a better place to work? And I think they will be really pleased with the types of implementable ideas that they'll get from their employees.
Well, one of the things that happens to a business owner is we tend to operate our business at the 30,000-foot level sometimes, and employees are down where the rubber meets the road.
Oh, absolutely.
The answer you get from your employees could be as simple as, well, boss, you know, we got those double doors on the front out there where customers come in. I think we should unlock both of them and not make anybody grab one door that doesn't open. It could be that simple.
Most often they are.
Yeah. What does a customer want? And you might never have seen that, folks, and that's all it would take to keep from making a customer have to grab another door. Quick break, right back with Pam Bilbrey after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
She was hanging on, Johnny.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. We got something that will help you there with your small business, and lots of stuff you can read and listen to, ask questions, subscribe to my newsletter, on and on and on. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Pam Bilbrey is with us, and she is the co-author, along with Brian Jones, of Ordinary Greatness. We're talking about how to find some of that greatness inside of your organization. You know, Pam, I'd like to encourage people to think of what we're talking about here, this exercise that you're recommending, as going on a little bit of a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to think about somebody who's sitting in their office, a business owner, thinking, man, I wish I had an employee who could do this or that, when maybe that person was right under their nose already working for them. And if you just set out on this little quest that you're recommending, they might actually find somebody like that. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's entirely possible, and it's very highly likely that they would. But it does require getting out of the office. It does require going out, talking with employees, encouraging them to share their ideas, their suggestions. Find out what kind of hidden talent people have. that can be leveraged to
maybe if you defined ordinary greatness, mm-hmm. which sounds like a contradiction in terms. Why don't you define that for us? Maybe that'll help us find what we're looking for.
Yeah. Well, it does sound like an oxymoron. You don't really use the word ordinary and greatness together, and that's exactly what we're trying to suggest in the book, that there's greatness all around us, but it often goes unrecognized because it comes from unexpected places, unexpected people, and unexpected ways. And greatness is really... not so much the circumstance that people are put in, and sometimes people are assumed to be great because of circumstances, but more often it's about doing the ordinary things really, really well on a consistent basis. And
exactly.
That's
greatness. And to me, ordinary greatness reminds me of what I call an entrepreneurial employee. See, an entrepreneurial employee is somebody who wants to take risks. They want to seek excellence. They want to push the envelope a little bit. They want to accomplish something new, but they want to do it with your capital. They don't want to start their own business.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, the ideal employees you could have, if you could have a whole group of employees who would probably think like you, but they just would rather do it with your money. That'd be a great system, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think that in every organization there are employees who are really the storehouse of passion and energy and skills and talents that are just waiting to be tapped. And all
you know,
we have to do is go out and find them.
These questions that you recommend in your book and about that you ask these that you ask your employees,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I think that owners and managers are afraid to ask employees questions the way we're afraid to ask customers. You know, if we would ask our customers, how could we make things better? What would you like? How are we doing lately? Have we been measuring up to your expectations? Have we been exceeding your expectations? I think a lot of people are afraid to ask that question. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. They're afraid of the answer they may get, that it's going to be blue sky or all negative or just suggestions that are impossible. Yeah, and
I think we're afraid it's going to hurt.
yeah, very much so. Whether it's a customer you're asking or an employee you're asking about their experience within, you know, the
right.
business. Yeah, I think.
Well, some of the other questions you recommend is ask employees, you know, what would you get rid of if you were me? What would you do if you were the one paying the bills here? You know, those are good questions, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, the one about what would you do if you were footing the bill. I had a client recently. That had a business that was facing a fairly significant layoff potential. And instead of the owner and a couple of the department heads just getting together and determining how to do that, they went out to the employees, they explained the situation, and they said, we need your best ideas of how we can cut expenses. And the employees really rallied around that. And instead of making a significant amount of layoffs, they reduced the layoffs by 90% just by tapping into their employees' ideas.
Well,
isn't
I heard another
incredible?
Story. I heard another story where they all got together and said, why don't we all take a, you know, since business is slow anyway, why don't we all take a half a day off a week, and we'll all take a little bit of share a little bit of the pain, and everybody gets to keep their job. And they did that, and the employees came up with that on their own.
That's great. That's really inspiring to know that people are willing to give of themselves. They are willing to think outside the box if we just ask them and give them the opportunity.
One of the things we cannot assume, even with your most senior people, we cannot assume that they will offer that on their own, because we may be giving them the impression that we know it all and that we don't really want to hear that from them.
Oh, you know, that's so true. In fact, I just read a study this weekend that said that 41% of employees think that the senior management does not support new ideas or new ways of doing things.
Exactly.
So
hey, Pam, give us the website. Tell us how
you do.
Give us your website. Tell us how we can find your book.
It's www.ordinarygreatnessbook.com. and it's in a lot of the local bookstores around the country, and then on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com.
On the online, OrdinaryGreatnessBook.com. The name is Pam Bilbrey and Brian Jones on the book. Thanks, Pam, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.